Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room.
You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. Did all my moms out there have a fantastic Mother's Day? Whether you be a plant mom, a pet mom, a human baby mom, all the moms are out there. And I hope all of my men out there don't get offended, but I did see a quote that said, on Mother's Day, it said, if you know a man, then you're a mom. I thought that was kind of funny. Men tend to need a little bit of caretaking, but that's okay. We're all going to get through this together. So I had a fantastic Mother's Day. I had to teach Pilates. I taught at 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. So I knew that I wasn't going to be able to go out to brunch. What the fuck am I talking about? I'm sorry, y'all. It's kind of a chaotic day, but I'm about to get through this episode. Okay. So I taught at 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. on Mother's Day. And so because I wasn't able to go to out to eat or anything like that, me and Madison had a lovely morning and then a lovely afternoon. So in the morning, we woke up. We made some espresso, lit our favorite candles, and turned on some French jazz music. And we just enjoyed the morning watching the birds go to the bird feeder and just listened to French jazz and had a delightful morning. I went and taught two classes, and I also had a little surprise for my clients. I brought flowers in to give to everyone on Mother's Day, and it was a really big hit. My clients loved it. They were so sweet. I truly, truly get enjoyment out of people having a good time and finding peace in my class. I truly get enjoyment out of it, and it is immediate satisfaction to see people leaving the class more relaxed, more zen, and happier that they attended. I love it. I'm getting great reviews, which makes me very happy. I have never been in a job position where I am like someone can review me immediately online. That is quite nerve-wracking. I don't know. Can people review lawyers online? I'm not really sure. But this is the first job that anyone can review me like in real time, like contemporaneously, right after the class. They could review me, and that made me sweat a little bit. I've also been getting compliments on my playlist for my Pilates classes. Now, I make my own Pilates playlists because I care a great deal about music, and I care about how the tone of the class. And I feel like a huge element of a Pilates class, or really any workout class, is the music. So I try to keep that vibey, fresh, and just all around a good environment. That's all I want. Crafting playlists for my Pilates class has led me into the possibility of an additional career path, as if I needed another one. I'm currently a lawyer, Pilates instructor, podcaster, business owner. Do I do anything else? Well, I'm thinking about writing a book. I'm thinking about writing a screenplay. And the new venture, did I say Pilates instructor? I'm not sure. The new venture that I'm considering is being a DJ. should I be a DJ? I love music. I love crafting, you know, an environment and like totally elevating a space with music. So I was like, maybe I could be a DJ. I think I would be good at it. And literally everyone these days is becoming a DJ. Ask James Kennedy, ask Kyle Cook. And also, I started following this girl on Instagram who was a lawyer and quit practicing law. And now she is a DJ / breathwork specialist. You know, there's just all kinds of paths in this world, and I am trying to find mine. And that next path may be disc jockey. One small problem. I go to bed at 9 p.m. I do not like staying up late. I love getting a full night's sleep. So, and DJ, being a DJ would almost mean that you are in the nightlife. And I just can't commit to that. I cannot commit to being in the nightlife. So unless there is a daytime only DJ, strictly daytime DJ, I'm your gal. It could be really fun, but if I'm being dead honest, I have way too much on my plate as it is. I can't not take on another fucking thing. We are at capacity, people. We are at capacity. So I cannot take on another fucking thing. Not one more. I have had quite a consecutive working situation, like day after day after day after day after day, without stopping for some time now. And mama needs a break. Even I taught on Pilates. I taught Pilates on Mother's Day, but I didn't get the whole day off. So, and it wasn't just Mother's Day. I went to a CLE on Friday that was all day because I needed to get my in-person hours. I worked on Saturday. I worked on Sunday. I worked on Monday. I thought I was going to be able to take off on Tuesday, but I totally forgot that my mom is coming to visit on Wednesday. So instead, on Tuesday, I kind of had to pivot and get prepared for my mom to come visit our house, which I'm so happy she's here. We're having a fantastic time. But then she arrived on Wednesday morning, and she's here now, and we are having a fantastic time. So I'm looking to schedule a day off for myself next Friday. I think next Friday I can finally have one day off, and I cannot fucking wait. I'm really gonna use that to my advantage. I realized when I taught my Pilates classes on Mother's Day, people just want to be taken care of, because I gave the flowers to the clients, and whenever they saw the flowers, they were like, oh my gosh, because I left them at each reformer while we were doing the meditation. And so whenever they came out of the meditation, they saw that I had left a flower. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And it's just like the smallest things that are really effective with people. People just want to be taken care of. People just want to be acknowledged. It's actually quite simple when you think about it. I don't know. So let me go ahead and take care of you, my audience, by giving you some great podcast content. I have some stories to tell, and depending on how long I talk, I might go into a little bit of politics. There's so much shit happening right now, like crazy amount of shit. I'm doing my best to not let it get to me. I've been meditating, I've been journaling, I've been, you know, just doing all of the things just to kind of keep myself on an even keel. So, as you all know, I am a lawyer. I am licensed in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas. And in order to maintain my law license, I have to obtain CLE credits every year. And in two of the jurisdictions that I'm licensed in, they require that 8 of those hours be in person. Now, for the past 2 years, I've been going back to Louisiana to do my in-person CLEs But I was a bit proactive this year, and I attended a CLE in person here in Miami, and it was quite good. I was really impressed with the presentation and the speakers. It was honestly chock full of information and not a dull moment. It ran. It was like, it was popping. Can you hear me snapping? Yeah. It just ran quickly all day. And it was impressive. There was a reception afterwards, but I did not stay for the reception. But I really enjoyed it. So when I arrived, I was a little nervous, right? Because you're like, oh, you know, I'm an attorney, but I don't know about the Miami attorneys. Are they going to be different than the attorneys back from where I'm from? And, you know, they're an attorneys. But I will say that people were dressed very well. There was not a seersucker suit in sight. There were designers galore, quite flashy. But some things were the same, though. The Redwells. The attorneys answering emails, the screens, the phones going off nonstop, people getting up nonstop, people trying to take pictures, people not knowing how to use the flash, people not knowing how to turn the flash off. And you know, there's always those people who like laugh extra when people make a joke, like someone makes a funny joke and the whole crowd's like, ha ha ha, yeah, that's funny. And then there's one guy's like, ah, ha ha ha. Well, that guy was in front of me the whole time, and I didn't say anything to him, but I'm like, dude, are you fucking serious? I also think, and this isn't limited to CLEs, but in any presentation, I cannot stand when people talk loudly while other people are giving presentations. Like, it's almost like people don't know how to whisper. It's okay. Whatever. There was something that was a little unusual that I had never really seen before. So at the beginning of the CLE, it was at a theater here in Coral Gables. It was gorgeous, gorgeous theater. So you went into the theater and we're sitting in the theater waiting for the presentation to start. And there's a voice that comes on and it says, "Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the CLE. If you could please stand for our national anthem." And I was like, what? We're going to stand for the national anthem at a CLE? And I was like, whatever. So I stood up. I mean, everyone stands up, obviously. And then the voice goes, "Sung by Leanne Rimes." I'm like, what the fuck? Leanne Rimes? Okay. And so then we proceeded to stand for the national anthem. And because it's a theater, they have all of these lights and stuff. So they're like, all these lights are going off like it's some big presentation. And it's almost like they're imagining like Leanne Rimes is in person. And so over the speaker, you hear Leanne Rimes sing the national anthem. Why Leanne Rimes? That was perplexing to me. I mean, you could have at least given us Whitney Houston when she sang, what was it, at the Super Bowl one year? Or maybe at the Olympics? But y'all know what I'm talking about. It's like one of the best performances of the national anthem of all time. Whitney Houston. But Leanne Rimes? I mean, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like she sang bad. I thought it was good. But it was just a surprising, occurrence. And I was just like, okay, that's interesting. But after that, everything else was pretty normal and pretty much like all the other CLEs I've been to. There was a big focus on AI, which obviously, why wouldn't there be? AI is a huge hot button topic right now. So it was a lot of focus on AI. And there was also a lot of focus on the stressors of being an attorney and ways to manage your stress so that you can make decisions from a calm point of view and perspective rather than making decisions from a panicked point of view. And when people are in a stressful, panicky situation, they tend to make bad decisions. And lawyers making bad decisions like that can be, something that would have to deal with a bar license. So I thought that was wonderful because being an attorney is very, very stressful. It is, I want to say it's one of the most, if not the most demanding, time demanding jobs out there. Lawyers have stamina in working. I teach at a Pilates studio and someone needed to sub. I was already teaching three classes and I was like, okay, I could take the other two, meaning that I would sub five classes, which is 5 hours. And the woman who owns the studio, she was like, oh, I don't know if you could do that. That might be too much for you. And while I was confident in my abilities, but I'm also a brand new teacher. So I was like, you know, if that's what you think, that's fine. She let me teach four instead of five. And after I taught the four, I was like, I could have totally taught five. And I started thinking back about when I was practicing law, I sat in all day depositions, 8 hour depositions. I've sat in multi-day trials. Lawyers work for a very long time consecutively in one sitting. So the 5 hours actually wasn't a big deal to me. I definitely could do, honestly, I think I could do more. I don't know. The lawyers who are listening understand. Lawyers work a lot and they have a lot of demands on their time. So I appreciated the focus of the CLE being about mindfulness and breath work, because that is exactly what I have been doing the past like year. Okay, so one woman, I believe she was a judge. There were a lot of judges. I was very impressed with the caliber of presenters. Very impressed. So there was one judge who shared a breathing technique that she had learned. I think she went to like a mindfulness summit or something like that. And she learned a breathing technique from a Navy SEAL. And it is you inhale for four, you hold, and you exhale for four, and you hold. So it's a total of 32 seconds, and you can keep doing it over and over as you calm your nervous system down. She said that it is proven, scientifically proven, to calm your nervous system down in 32 seconds. Now, you will not probably go back to like your calmest state ever, but it can take you down a few notches. It can take you out of an elevated headspace. So if you ever want to try that breathing technique, we might try it at the end of this episode. So if you want to try that breathing technique, I invite you to do it and to maybe do a little research, get a little curious about breath work. It's something that I have started to implement in my own daily practice, and I'm finding that it has incredible benefits. And I just think anyone and everyone would benefit from it. So my mom is in town, and before she came in town, I was panic cleaning. Not really because of her. I mean, maybe because of her, but not really. I care a lot about how my house looks. I care a lot about how my house is presented to people. I care about how it smells. I care about everything. And I care about my mom's opinion. So I want her to like where I live. I want her to, you know, feel comfortable here. So in order to do that, I have to clean. And if I'm being honest, I've put off cleaning for at least 2 weeks. Like, I have not been cleaning. I have been struggling to find a good rhythm of my projects. I'm working on it, but it still doesn't feel like it's really hitting. Yeah, it will come. It's gonna come. I'm working every day to do it. I know I said I can't take a day off until next week, but I can. I will have a few slower days, but I can't take off, but I will have a few slower days. So I'm gonna take advantage of that and try to make a good plan, something that will help me manage the projects that I have going on without it getting chaotic. I really do struggle to rest. I struggle to rest. I'm almost like, I almost will rest and I'm like, okay, well, since I'm resting, let me go ahead and make a to-do list that I can do when I'm not resting. So it's like I'm preparing, I'm still working on working while I'm trying to rest. I need to be better at that because rest is essential. It is essential. So another reason that I like to have my house clean is from the show Criminal Minds. Has anyone seen that show? So Criminal Minds, I don't think it's still on anymore, but it is one of the best fucking like cop shows out there. And it's not actually, I mean, when I say cops, it's federal agents. I forgot the name of their unit, but they are federal agents and they used like psychology and all of these different things to do predictable behavior of the serial killers. Very, very, very interesting. Man, maybe I should watch that again. I loved it. I really loved it. Shit. So Criminal Minds really taught me two things. You shouldn't go running at night with headphones on in the dark. Because that's when in the show that happens a lot. And when women are running at night with headphones on, they get caught. They get abducted. So there was one time when I was younger and I guess it was nighttime. I went and I was like, okay, I'm going to go for a run at my house in Gulfport. It's in Gulfport, Mississippi. But I was watching Criminal Minds at the time. And I went outside my house. I started running. And I'm like, okay. And then I get towards the first little intersection on my street. And I was like, this is how every episode of Criminal Minds starts. Let me just go right back the fuck home. And I turned my happy ass around. Now, I do walk in the mornings here, but it's always when the sun is starting to come up. And I walk on a main road. So there are people everywhere. People are going to work early in the morning. People are cleaning restaurants earlier in the morning. Like, it's a lot more busy, I guess, than people think. So I do feel safe walking here in the morning. But the second thing that Criminal Minds has taught me is that whenever something happens to a victim, like whenever someone is abducted or killed or whatever, the first thing that the investigators do, whether it be the local police or the federal agents, the first thing they do is they go into the victim's house. And when they go into the victim's house, they start analyzing all of the evidence, all of the stuff, all of the placement of stuff, whether there's a struggle, whether, you know, what did she eat? Was she cooking? Whatever. Now, I would be mortified if people came into my house and it was dirty and not tidy and not clean. That thought that something would happen to me and that there would be people coming into my house and it not being tidy has taken a hold of me. And so that is one of the reasons I like to keep my house clean. Just in case there's a situation where people have to come into my house and I want them to be like, damn, she really keeps it clean in here. That sounds a little crazy now that I'm saying it out loud, but whatever. My house stays pretty clean. I used to have a very hard time cleaning and keeping things clean and having a good schedule. And I guess the biggest thing that turned it around for me was that I decided that I was just going to accept it. I just accepted that I had to wash the dishes every day. I just accepted that I like the feeling of a clean kitchen, so I'm going to wipe the counters before I go to bed. And after I accepted it and I just made it part of my daily routine, it now feels like an automatic response that I don't even have to think about, that doesn't even bother me. This is so much progress. I cannot even express it. So much progress. I used to just agonize about washing the dishes and they would just pile up and it's like as the dishes piled up, it's like my anxiety would pile up in at the same time. It would get worse and worse. But now I have broken free of that. I have come a long fucking way, y'all. A long fucking way. I'm very proud of myself. My mom said that she had a very lovely Uber driver on the way to the airport from New Orleans while she was in New Orleans. And mainly she said it was because the Uber driver did not speak. And I understand that. I understand you don't want conversation in a car. I feel the same way now. When I was younger, let's say, when did Uber come out? When did New Orleans get Uber? I don't remember. I'm going to say it was around right around when I started practicing, or maybe right after I graduated law school in 2015. I'm going to guess that's around when Uber started in New Orleans. I know Uber started other places, but I don't think New Orleans got it until that time. Holy shit, that was 10 years ago. Holy shit. My 10-year law school reunion is this summer. That's crazy. Ooh, I can't wait to go. So I used to talk to Uber drivers. They would come pick me up from my house or wherever I was going, and I would be like, hi, how are you? My name is Lindsay. Oh, no. And I would just make conversation with them, and I don't remember anyone being non-receptive to it, but maybe they didn't like it either. Well, one question I would commonly ask, and I'd be like, oh, so is Uber driving your only job? Do you do something else? Do you live in New Orleans? Tell me about your family. But really, I'd ask what they do for a living other than Uber, if anything. And I remember I was taking an Uber driver. I was not an Uber driver. I remember I was taking an Uber one time where I don't remember where I was going. And after this experience, I stopped talking to Uber drivers. But I was like, oh. And so I just started out as an attorney. I was working as an attorney. And I was like, oh, what do you do? Do you do for a living? Do you Uber drive? And he was like, oh, I'm a lawyer. And I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't ask any more questions because I don't think at that time I was prepared for any more answers. And I decided after that encounter that I don't need to talk to my Uber drivers. So now I just refrain from speaking to my Uber drivers. And honestly, they refrain from speaking to me. So that's good. You know, I may have that my conversation preference is no conversation. And, you know, I'd like to keep it that way. Okay, I've been having reoccurring dreams. This is a big deal for me because I have not remembered my dreams in quite some time. I don't know why that is. I used to have very, very vivid dreams. And for a good amount of years, I felt like I did not remember my dreams. Back in the day, I used to have a recurring dream where I would be on the beach and there would be a huge tidal wave or a huge like tsunami wave. Is a tidal wave and a tsunami wave the same thing? I don't know. But they would be like a tsunami. Tsunami! It would be like a tsunami. It would be like a tsunami. And it would just, you're just staring at it and it just overtakes you. And I was like, and it was a scary dream. You would wake up as soon as the water comes over you. I would have a dream or some derivative of that dream over the years frequently. I looked it up and, you know, dreams, the interpretation of dreams. I looked it up and it said something to the effect of, the water represents like waves of emotion or something to do with uncontrollable emotion or something like that. I don't know if that's true, but it has to have some significance. Well, now I started having a recurring dream again. I can definitely recall having it two times, maybe three. And I don't think they were identical dreams. I think it was different scenarios, but the same thing seemed to happen. So in the dreams, no matter where I am, it does seem like I am being located in some sort of high rise, some sort of building that is elevated many, many stories off the ground. That is how I would describe it. And in the dream, I can see water like down low, right? Like far, like it was not close to me. But as I step back, I start seeing like water, like if there was like a glass, not fence, is not a glass barrier, like something that would be on the edge of a like terrace or something, like a high glass barrier. And as I step back from it, I could see water start to almost rise and splash into the glass barrier. And in the dream, it's almost like the water splashes over the glass barrier just enough and water will hit my face. It's not like water being splashed all over me. It's like water just splashing up against a like glass barrier. I don't know what that means, but if I were to guess, I would guess that that means I do have some sort of undercurrent of emotion that is difficult to manage, that is something that does need to be managed and addressed like waves. And I think the new dream version is that I have built a building, built myself a foundation. I've built something for myself and I have gotten really high up and it's almost like the water isn't overtaking me, but the water can still splash on me. I don't know if anyone out there is following me on this or if I sound like a complete loony bin. I don't care. This is what I think. So I don't know. I don't know what else it could be, but it is interesting. I am excited to be dreaming again. I'm excited to be remembering my dreams again. I feel like our dreams are our conscious. Our dreams are where our subconscious and our conscious mind talk. That's what I think. And I think if we are very in tune with ourselves, if we're very aware of ourselves, we can use these dreams as guides. So I don't know what to do with that, with my dream interpretation. I have therapy scheduled next week. I'll bring it up to my girl and we'll just go from there. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. Now, we might have time for some politics. I don't know. Before we even broach the subject of politics, let's discuss some current events. So we have a new pope, Pope Leo IV. The Vatican has decided to elect Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost as the first American pope. This marks a historic shift in the Catholic Church's leadership. The choice reflects a blend of continuity with Pope Francis's progressive legacy and a recognition of the Church's global nature. I am very excited about the new pope because he is an American pope, and that was very surprising to me. I don't know why I thought the pope always had to be Italian. I don't know why I thought that. And I don't even know if the last pope was an Italian. So. Literally no disrespect. I mean, no disrespect to that. So when I learned that the pope was born in the United States, I was surprised. So why did we choose an American pope? Everyone has been talking about it. So when I looked it up, people are saying that Pope Francis, who recently passed away, appointed approximately 80% of cardinal electors, many of whom share his vision for a more inclusive and socially conscious church. And so because he has his own vision, he had his own vision and he appointed 80% of the cardinal electors, I guess that means like cardinals in the Catholic Church, then those electors would have the same or share the same ideals as Pope Francis. And Pope Francis was quite a progressive pope. Although Pope Leo was born in the United States, he spent a significant amount of time as a missionary and bishop in Peru, which gives him a unique perspective that bridges North and South America. His international experience made him a unifying figure for a diverse church. I love this. I wanted to say the F word. I effing love this, but I really feel like I shouldn't be saying it while I'm talking about the Pope. Even though Pope Leo probably wouldn't mind because he sounds really nice. People have been saying that Pope Leo has been seen as a middle-of-the-road candidate who is capable of balancing traditional church teachings with modern societal issues. This election suggests a desire for the Catholic Church to have a leader who can navigate internal divisions and external challenges. There's also some significance in the name that he chose. So I learned a lot researching this. I did not realize that that when someone becomes a pope, that they choose a name. I did not realize that. And that's the name that everyone calls him by. So he chose Leo IV, aligning himself with Pope Leo III, who was known for his work on social justice during the Industrial Revolution. This name choice signals a continued focus on addressing contemporary issues like labor rights and technological impacts on society. In researching this, I learned that there has historically been a hesitation about electing an American pope due to the United States' global political influence. However, Pope Leo's extensive work outside of the U.S. and his reputation for humility and service helped alleviate these concerns. His election indicates a recognition that the church's leadership should reflect its global congregation. I like this choice for Pope. I feel like he has a great mix of traditional values and also an awareness for modern issues. Very excited to see how he leads. So to go into the complete opposite fucking direction, P. Diddy is currently on trial in New York, facing serious federal charges, including racketeering conspiracy, sex trafficking, and transportation for prostitutes. The trial began May 5th and has unveiled a series of disturbing allegations and testimonies, which have garnered a lot of public attention. So many witnesses have testified. Cassie Ventura was one of them. She is Sean Combs' ex-girlfriend. I'm going to call him Sean Combs now instead of P. Diddy. I don't know why. It feels better. I don't like P. Diddy. So she was Combs' ex-girlfriend, and she provided testimony detailing years of alleged abuse during their 11-year relationship. She described being coerced into drug-fueled multi-day sex acts known as freak-offs, which involved escorts and were often recorded on video. Cassie also recounted severe incidents of violence, including being attacked with a wine bottle opener and kicked by Combs. Oh my God. She testified about a 2012 opioid overdose at the Playboy Mansion and alleged that Combs retaliated against her relationship with Kid Cudi by bombing Cudi's car. Surveillance footage from 2016 showing Combs physically assaulting Cassie was presented in court, with prosecutors alleging that Combs paid to suppress this evidence. Combs' legal team has challenged Cassie's credibility by presenting explicit text messages suggesting she may have willingly participated in some encounters. They argued that the relationship was marked by mutual abuse and that Combs' actions, while possibly morally questionable, do not constitute a criminal enterprise. Are you fucking kidding me? No. No, 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 no. We all saw the video of him beating the shit out of her in that hotel. I don't think she was willingly there. And I believe they started dating when she was 19 years old. And the fact that he's pumping her full of drugs and things and bringing prostitutes across state line. I mean, I can't. But I understand the defense's strategy. I get it. And you know what? A for effort. But no. There were additional witnesses that testified. A male sex worker, Daniel Phillip, testified that he was paid to have sex with Cassie while Combs watched, and sometimes he filmed the encounters. Phillip described a disturbing incident where Combs became violent with Cassie, prompting him to end the arrangement. He expressed fear over Combs' influence and power, stating that he feared for his life if he went to the police. There was evidence put on regarding the raids. Federal agents raided Combs' properties, uncovering over 1,000 bottles of lubricants allegedly used in the freak-offs, as well as narcotics and firearms. This evidence was presented to show a pattern of abuse and exploitation. One thing that kept coming to mind for me when I was reading about the freak-offs that they would have in hotel rooms was, other people have to stay in these hotel rooms. Like, what the fuck? This is crazy. Do people do this? Like, I know, like, in staying in a hotel, like, ignorance is bliss. But now if I ever go to a hotel, I'm going to be like, was there a freak off in here? I know that's not good to think about. But that would be a consideration. And then even just not his situation, but even thinking about what other people might be doing, your mind can go nuts going down those roads. Ugh. But to be fair, I probably am not staying in the same caliber of rooms that Sean Combs stayed in. Like, I'm sure he had suites or something, and I don't need all that. If convicted, Combs faces life imprisonment. The trial has not only put his personal life under scrutiny, but also raised broader concerns about abuse and power within the entertainment industry. As if we needed any more concerns after old Harvey Weinstein. I didn't realize this, and I just looked this up on my phone right now. Harvey Weinstein, I knew there was something that happened when he, I feel like something got overturned in the appellate court and the case went back to the trial court. And I don't know what's happening, but I think the trial is going to be starting soon. Or maybe it's going on right now. Wouldn't that be some shit? P. Diddy down the hall, Weinstein down the hall. Is it in New York? Yep. Okay, I see something from CBS on April 15th. Weinstein retrial starts today with jury selections in NYC. Interesting. Weinstein's been in jail at Rikers Island since his conviction was overruled. Very, very, very interesting. Well, I'm not going to dive into that right now because I haven't researched it, but I will get back to y'all because that's interesting. So yeah, there's some concerns in the music industry and the entertainment industry about abuse of power. So yeah, the Sean Combs trial continues to unfold with further testimonies and evidence expected in the coming weeks. I read a report that Combs was reading the Bible while the trial was going on. And someone commented on the post that said, oh, he definitely did it if he's reading the Bible. And they might have a point. So I had a bit of politics planned for today, but I don't think we have time. I will discuss one thing, and I've discussed it before. Kilmar Garcia. For those who don't know, he's the Maryland man who was wrongfully deported to an El Salvador prison. The Trump administration in court have said that he is a member of a gang, and that's why they deported him. The attorney for Garcia has said that the Trump administration has put on zero evidence to prove that Garcia is a gang member. Okay, here's my thing. And I want to point out that in a shocking turn of events, I never thought I would say this, Joe Rogan and Candace Owens both agree with me on this point. Garcia was deported before any evidence was put on that would prove that he was a gang member. I am all for not having gang members in our country. Okay. But you have to prove that someone is a gang member. You cannot just accuse someone of being a gang member and deport them without proving it, without due process of law. Because if they accuse him of being a gang member and take some action like deporting him without proving it or without having to put any evidence on, that is a big, nasty, stinking can of worms. And what's to say if that is allowed, if it's allowable to just accuse someone of something and then give them the consequences of that accusation before proving that accusation, they can do that to anybody. That is why people are so, feel so strongly about this. In the United States, we are entitled to due process of law. If someone accuses you of something, would you not want the opportunity to defend yourself? That is what Garcia is owed, the opportunity to defend himself. He got sent to another country before he even got the opportunity to defend himself. That ain't right. It's unconstitutional. It's flat out fucking wrong. And I don't know, I don't understand how a good amount of people don't understand that. That's okay. We live another day. Let's keep talking about shit. Let's keep pushing forward. So, you know, I don't like to end the episode on politics. So I'm going to walk you through the breathwork exercise that I discussed at the beginning of the episode. So as you'll recall, I went to a CLE where I was introduced to this breathwork exercise. And I realized that it's actually a breathwork exercise that is used in my meditation app that I use. And when I was at the CLE, the judge that was presenting the breathwork exercise said that she learned it. I don't know if I said this earlier, but she learned it at a mindfulness retreat where Navy SEALs say that they use this breathwork technique to calm their nervous system down before going into a mission. Because if you're a Navy SEAL, you're making insane decisions and you need to be in the calmest state possible. So I'm going to take you through this breathwork exercise and then we will close out the episode. So the breathwork is called box breathing. Now, it takes a full 32 seconds. You inhale for 4, you hold for 4, you exhale for 4, you hold another 4. So I'm going to take you through it if you would like. Indulge me a little bit. So I would like you to find a comfortable position, whether you're seated or laying down, and begin to just focus on your breath. And on your next breath, we're going to inhale for a count of 4. So follow along with me. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. And that's it. It's really easy. Congratulations, you just did a breathwork exercise. Amazing, you did wonderful. that is it for this episode, everyone. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Oh, thank you so much for listening. I love all my listeners. You're all fantastic. And I just get so happy when I get to talk to people about what they think about the podcast. So if you do have any comments, if you do have any feedback, send me a DM on Instagram at The Rich Room Podcast. You can also DM me at my personal Instagram at Love with Lindsay. Have a great weekend. I will see you next week. Bye.